This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حج محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure to be back with you guys again after an extended absence, and inshallah I'll be around for a little while. You know, a question that comes up quite often, and this is a question that seems like a grand idea, but to a Muslim it's a very simple idea. To the rest of the world, this idea is grand. This is an idea that theologians, philosophers have muddled over for centuries upon centuries, upon millennia. Since the beginning of humanity, this has been a grand question, an idea, and proposition. What is life all about? What is this thing that we call life all about? And there have been so many ideas about this idea. And there are so many religions that have come forward just based upon this idea and the differences that we have about this idea. Humanity has taken many different roads based upon this idea, and they have tried to come up with some of the most complex formulations to solve this one question: what is life all about? This is why we have Hinduism, this is why we have Buddhism, this is why you have Taoism, this is why you have atheism, this is why you have Christianity, this is why you have every world religion. All of them trying to solve this one question: what is life all about? And for the Muslim, this is a simple answer. But we have, unfortunately, made it so simple that we've only given it a breeze over. This is an unfortunate thing. That we've made it so simple that we only give it a look over. What is life about? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That's it. That's all we say. I did not create mankind and jinn except but they should worship me. Okay. MashaAllah. Very simple. I get it. But now how does that help me in my day-to-day life? How does that help me when I'm going to work? How does that help me have a better relationship with my wife or my husband? How does that help me to have a better relationship with my children, my neighbors, my boss, my co-workers? Better yet, how does that help me to have a better relationship with myself? This is the real question. How does the fact that Allah did not create me but to worship Him help me to have a better relationship with myself? Because that's the highest ideal, correct? To worship Allah with everything that we do, every breath that we take. And I've given a khutbah based upon that. That our life should be about worshiping Allah with everything that we do. But that's the highest form of this idea in Islam. What about the days when you fall short on that idea? What about the days when you fall to the side, when you make a mistake? What about the days when you're not worshiping Allah the way you should be worshiping Him? Now how do I fix my relationship with my Lord, my Creator, myself, and maybe someone who I have wronged? You see, this is the real question. This is where most of humanity have gone astray. This is where religions have deviated and gone the wrong way when dealing with this question. They can't comprehend the fact that yes, you're created to worship God. Many religions believe that same idea. The part where they go astray is what about when you make the mistake? You see, this is what life is really about, brothers and sisters. Life is not about whether or not you will make a mistake. Because the mistakes are guaranteed. The Prophet ﷺ said, every son of Adam sins. Every son of Adam sins. So the sin is guaranteed. You will sin. You will make a mistake. What life is about is not whether or not you will make the mistake, but how you will deal with the mistake. How you will deal with the mistake. This is what sets Islam apart from everything else. Is how we deal with the mistakes that we make. And how to deal with these mistakes is not something we need to theorize. It's not something we need to go into some deep philosophy upon. It's very simple for us. And the solution comes very early in the Quran. Very, very early in the Quran, the solution is laid out for us in a beautiful story. And that is the story we'll discuss today. A story that you all know. And if you know how I deal, I like to give well-known stories, but put them in a perspective that you can take out of here with you today. Insha'Allah. Now, in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, there is an amazing conversation that takes place. An amazing conversation that is all about what life is about. It is all about our life. But it happened a very, 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 very long time ago. Such a long time that we probably can't not even quantify the amount. In the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, when you get to around verse 30, a conversation takes place. And it's an ancient conversation that took place before we existed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal said to the angels, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa." Verily I am going to create or make and place on the earth a vicegerent, a representative, a khalifa. Now, this is a bold statement that Allah Azza wa Jalla is making. I am going to place on the earth. He didn't say a human being, insan. None. He said khalifa. Representative, the best of what I have created. A representative of who I am and what I can do. And the angels understood this khalifa well. How do we know they understood the khalifa well? We understand it from their response. Their response was, "Our Lord, will you place one on it that will create mischief and shed blood?" Did the angels know us or did they know us? They knew us. They knew us very well. "Will you place one on the earth that will cause mischief, which we have a history of doing, and shed blood?" Which, it was only one generation after the first human being that the blood was spilled. So the angels knew us very well. And Allah knew us very well. He does not create that which He does not fully comprehend. He is Al-Aleem. He knows everything. Now, and they said, "Would you place on the earth one who will cause mischief and shed blood while we celebrate your praises day and night?" If you want to be praised, if you want to be celebrated, if you want to be known, then we do it flawlessly. We do it flawlessly. What was Allah's response to them? Subhanallah. Allah did not even answer the question. He just said, "A'lamu ma la ta'lamun." I know what you don't know. I know what you don't know. Subhanallah. So Allah created Adam alayhi salam. And then from his side, created his wife Hawa alayhi salam. The first two of us. Placed them in the garden. The place where Allah wants all of His creation. This is what He created them for. He created every single human to dwell in the garden. This is His purpose, for all of us to dwell in paradise. And this is letting us see this, because this is where Allah placed us. And He said, "Do whatever you wish within this garden. It's a free roam. Except, don't eat from that tree. That one tree, leave it alone." There had to be a test. Allah had to play, there had to be a test. Allah was proving, this is my khalifa. So He put the tree there, don't touch it. Now, when Allah placed that tree there, did He not already know Adam and Eve were going to eat from the tree? Of course He knew. He already knew. It's all part of the plan. You have to understand that we're all part of the plan. So what did Adam and Eve do? They ate from the tree. And Allah banished them from the garden. But He did something very miraculous and wonderful. He taught them some words. He taught them some words that is what life is all about. This is the key. It's not whether or not you will make the mistake, because the first of us made the mistake. It's about how you're going to deal with the mistake. So right along with the mistake, Allah taught them some words. O my Lord, I have indeed wronged my own soul. If you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will indeed be amongst the losers. Subhanallah. And then they said these words and Allah forgave them. Allah forgave them and told them that you will dwell in this place, now called the earth, for a while. And when my guidance comes to any of you, those who follow it will be on the right path, and those who don't will be amongst the losers. This is what life is about, ya ikhwan. Ya akhwat. This is life. Not about whether or not you'll make a mistake, because you're going to make mistakes. You might have already made a mistake today before you got here. You might make one when you leave here, but it's guaranteed a mistake is coming. How are you going to handle it? Allah shows us very early in the Quran that the way He taught the first of us to handle it is that when you make the mistake, you don't roll around in the dirt and continue to make more mistakes. You don't continue to go off the path because, well, I made one mistake, I might as well do another and another and another and another. No. You stop right there. Realize the mistake that you've made. Realize that this is part of my innate nature as a human being, that I have a right to choose, and I'm not always going to choose the right thing because I'm not perfect. And if Allah had wanted me to be perfect, He would have created me like He created the angels, without a free will. Therefore, I'm going to turn to the one whom I have sinned against, and I'm going to tell Him, my Lord, I have indeed wronged my own soul, and if You don't forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will indeed be one of the losers. This is what life is all about. This is the superiority that Islam has over every other religion. I don't need to go to some church. I don't need to ask some mediator. I don't need to pray to some pie in the sky. I don't need to do some formal sacrifices and all these other intermediate rituals. I need to stop my life for a moment, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 seconds, and I need to turn to the one whom I sinned against and say, forgive me. And that's as simple as it is in Islam. Have a sincere, repentant heart. Try to correct my actions. And this is what life is all about. Life is about the mistakes, brothers and sisters. It is about the mistakes. So don't become despondent when you make a mistake. You haven't failed. You are living out part of the plan. You are living out part of the process. Because the reason Allah said to the angels, I know what you do not know, was because Allah's grandeur could be seen in that way He created. The power that Allah has, and the fact that He is Al-Qawi, could be seen in the universe that He has created that no mind will ever comprehend. Everything about Allah could be seen through what He had already created, except His greatest attribute. His greatest attribute, the attribute by which we begin everything, could not be known unless He created something to show it to Him. And that is His attribute of rahmah, of mercy, of forgiveness, of forbearance, of gentleness, of justice, of patience. None of that could be seen unless Allah created something that could disobey Him and then would return to Him and repent and He would forgive. This is why Allah said, إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I'm going to place on the earth the greatest of my creation. Yes, they will commit sin, but there will be a number of them who will come back to me, and I will defeat shaitan with them. We are the victory of the believers over shaitan. Because every time you make a mistake, shaitan thinks he's won. He thinks he's gained some power or dominion over you. But the real defeat in shaitan is not you not making a mistake, because then we're all going to be losers. The real defeat of shaitan is when you make a mistake, and then you do opposite of what he did. You turn to Allah with a repentant heart and Allah forgives the sin. That is the real defeat of shaitan. It's proving to him that you may cause me to slip a few times in my life. No problem. No problem. But when I repent to Allah and He wipes it over, then I have really, really overcome you. This is what we're here for, brothers and sisters. Don't become despondent when you make the mistake. When you fall short to the wayside, don't let that get you down. Because this is exactly what shaitan wants. He wants you to become despondent. He wants you to despair of Allah's mercy. He wants you to think that there's no hope. He wants you to think that you're a lowly human being. He wants you to think that you're nothing. He wants you to think that you're worthless. He tried to do it to the first of us. He walked around him, mocked at him, spit on him, went inside of him, kicked him. He did everything he tried to do to destroy the first of us. And he will continue to the last of us. We have to realize that this battle we have going on inside of ourselves and externally with shaitan will never end. This process of being a better Muslim, has no finish line in this life. This process of being a good believer has no ending point in this life. There will never come to a time where you can put your hands up and say, I've won. It doesn't exist in this life. Don't let shaitan fool you into that either. Because one of the best of our salaf, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was on his deathbed, his son Abdullah was next to him. And he said that when my father would go into passing out, and I thought that he was going to die, I would hear him saying, no, not yet. No, not yet. And I became worried that my father has become weak at the last moment of life. And he's saying, no, not yet. Don't let me die yet. So his son, Abdullah, became very worried. So when his father gained consciousness again, he asked him, he said, Ya Abi, oh my father, I heard you saying, no, not yet. No, not yet. Why are you saying this? His son, the great Imam Ahmed, who had fought shaitan all of his life, said, my son, shaitan is in this room with us. Shaitan is here, he's standing next to me. And every time I'm about to pass out, he's biting at his fingers and saying, oh, Imam Ahmed, Ya Ahmed, I've lost you. Ya Ahmed, I've lost you. And I am responding to him saying, no, not yet. No, not yet. You have not lost me until my soul leaves this body. I will not give up on you until the day I am gone. This is the real life that we live. It never ends. Shaitan will be with you, and the shaitan that is in you will be with you to the moment that you die. And shaitan will be next to you, all of us, the day that we die. And that will be the greatest test that we ever face. But this, all of this we're doing now is preparing for that. So realize you're going to make mistakes, brothers and sisters. Realize that. Know that. Know that you are going to make a mistake. And when you do, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Don't think that what is wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with you. You may have had a slip, a slight, a fall of iman, a gap in your thought process. It's okay. It's okay. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a very clear system. Yes, Allah created you. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَانِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah created you in the best of molds. But that best of molds is only maintained through repentance in this life. The Prophet ﷺ said, every son of Adam sins. And the best of those who sin are those who repent. Every son of Adam sins. The best of those who sin are those who repent. أقول قد هذا استغفر ولكم فاستغفره إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والذين تابعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Now, I wanted to cover something at the end, which is a little bit different from this whole topic, but that topic was short and sweet to the point, clear. I don't think there needs to be any more explanation. You will sin. Repent. It's a simple solution in Islam. This is what led every other religion astray. They think that Allah cannot just forgive. How can Allah just forgive? That's just the way He is. And we know the famous hadith that Allah Azza wa Jalla, before creating anything, took an oath with Himself. My mercy will always overcome my anger. If it were not for that, none of us would exist. If Allah was only just, none of us would exist. If His justice did not meet with His rahmah, if his forbearance did not meet with His patience and with His anger and His wrath, if it was not all imperfection, we wouldn't be here. None of us would exist. You would be punished for every sin that you commit instantaneously. So Allah has given us that rahmah from Allah is the chance to repent. When you sin, know that if lightning has not struck you and if the earth hasn't swallowed you up, then Allah's rahmah is already on you. It's already been given to you. Allah's mercy has already been given to you because He has given you a moment to repent. Or if you don't die in the middle of that sinning, then know that Allah has given you mercy and His forbearance to come back to Him and repent. So don't take that for granted. Don't take it lightly. But I have to end with something else. Spend no more than 10-15 minutes on it, insha'Allah ta'ala. Because it is the issue at hand. It is the issue of the day. And it may have already been dealt with prior to today. MashaAllah. If you hear it 1,000 times, not a problem. And this is a subject that I have dealt with numerous times standing in this very spot. We all know what's going on in the world about our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know. We have all heard what's going on. We've all heard about the movie. And many of you may have seen the movie, the little movie that they made. Me, I've never seen it. Never seen it. And I won't go watch it. Why? Because I'm not going to give them what they want. They created that movie. Do you think they created that movie for the non-Muslims to watch? The non-Muslims already hate Islam. The non-Muslims already think these things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They want you to watch it. They made that movie for you. And every time you click on it, you give them a little bit of satisfaction and a little bit of money, by the way. So if you haven't seen it yet, don't waste your time. Why? Why waste your time? We have to look at something very clearly. Because there is a big debate going on how should the Muslims deal with these slanders, these misrepresentations, these outright lies against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how Muslims deal with it in one country is not the same way Muslims in another country should deal with it. We have to understand that Islam takes everything into consideration. The way the Muslims in Pakistan deal with it is not the way you can deal with it here. The way you deal with it in Somalia is not the way you can deal with it here. The Muslims in the UK might not deal with it the way we should deal with it. We have to know how we should deal with it. We have to look into something. The life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has two phases. We all know this, very clear. Had a Meccan phase and a Medinan phase. Now, in a Meccan phase, he dealt with things quite differently, and so did the companions, and they did in a Medinan phase. Now, why did they deal with certain things in a Meccan phase much differently than they did deal with in a Medinan phase? Because in a Meccan phase, they had no power. And in a Meccan phase, they had no quwwah. They had no authority in the land. We have no authority in the land. We have no authority in the land. You got to wake up to that realization. They had no strength, they had no numbers, they had no political sway. They were outnumbered, outgunned, outmanned, being beaten, being tortured, being killed, being murdered, being raped. Not much different than what we find from the Muslim Ummah today. You cannot deal with things in a state of power the same way you can deal with them in a state of weakness. This is logic, this is reason, this is rationale, this is what Islam taught us. So the Prophet ﷺ was slandered in Mecca. He was slandered in Mecca. He was slandered worse than any of you will ever be slandered in your lifetime. He was called a madman, a magician, a sorcerer, a straight-out liar. Who knows what? Some of the things I just will not repeat, especially not from a member, as a representative of where the Prophet ﷺ used to stand. Won't do it. He had camel guts thrown on him while he was praying. A Jewish woman used to drop trash on his door every day. His uncle Abu Lahab used to chase him through the market every single day, pelting him with stones, calling him a kadhib, a liar, a master, whatever you want to have it. He dealt with all of it. How did he respond? Because we cannot say that we are loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we are responding to things that he himself dealt with in a manner that is contrary to the way he dealt with it. These two things are like oil and water. They won't mix. We can't say we are followers of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ when we are acting contrary to the way he taught. Because there are instances, forgive me for my cold, throughout the world where Muslims have acted with anger. Which anger is a fitting position here. No problem. You're angry, you should be angry. If you're not angry, you should check your iman. If you're not angry, you should do an iman test for yourself. Some Muslims have responded with straight out furiousness, infuriation. MashaAllah. This shows me that the Ummah still has some love for their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But, and when it comes to love, where there is no more extreme love that a Muslim should have than for his Rabb and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the most extreme forms of love you should have. The Prophet ﷺ said, you do not have true faith until you make me more beloved than all of mankind. Even your own soul. MashaAllah. But the point of the matter is how we respond. How we respond. How do we take that anger and turn it into something beneficial? How do we take that infuriation and turn it into something beneficial? Do we act as true representatives of the man whom we say we love so much? This is what we need to show the world right now. And we are in a position of weakness. The Ummah is in a position of weakness, and if anybody thinks that we're not, then I don't think you have taken a very good look. Don't think you've taken a very good look. I'll give you two stories. If we were in a position of power, this conversation wouldn't be taking place. Wouldn't even be taking place. It would be a pointless conversation. Because those statements would never be made. 100 years ago, nobody would have made these statements. Nobody would have made any of these statements. 200 years ago, forget about it. 500 years ago, wouldn't even have crossed anybody's mind. Because they knew what the end result would have been. But we are in a different world. We live in a different time. And Islam and the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal takes into account time, position, place, political strength, power. Everything is within the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's perfect. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to open his front door every morning in Mecca. And there used to be a heap of trash. A heap of garbage on his front door. Because there was a Jewish woman who lived above him. He used to drop it on him. Drop it on his door every single morning. And every single morning he would collect it and throw it away. And would not say another thing about it. Next morning, same trash. Same thing. He would collect it, not say a thing about it. One day, there was no trash. One day there was no trash. He became worried. And his concern was for the welfare of the woman. He went and asked about her, what happened to this woman? They said she is very ill. She is very ill. Now, for most of us, if not all of us, our immediate response would have been, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah take her soul today. This would have been our response. May Allah kill her today. We would have probably already made that dua a long time ago. Probably the first time the trash was on our door. And we would have been making dua to take her life or just take her from here. I don't care what happens to her. That would have been our response. But for a man whom Allah Azza wa Jal coined him, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, a mercy unto all of creation, not just mankind, all of creation, he went to the woman's door, knocked on the door, asked for permission to enter. When he was allowed to enter, his only question and his only concern was, how are you? How are you feeling? How are you feeling? The compassion, the mercy of this man shocked this woman so much. I have been so evil to you. I have been so evil to you. And yet here you are at my bedside seeing about my needs. This is the attitude of a believer. This is the attitude of a believer. Because if I can make a sin and repent for it, then everybody else can make a sin and repent for it. You're no better than them. Just you came along a little bit quicker than they did. Maybe by birth. So he sought out the woman and told her, why don't you just accept Islam? His attitude towards her was so compelling, so overwhelming, that her only response to him could be, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. She accepted Islam at his hands. This was the goal, this was his purpose and mission in life, was to worship Allah and bring other people to that worship. And that's what he lived his life based upon. There was nothing you could do to him that would deter him from that mission. No trash on his doorstep was going to stop him from his goal of calling people to Tawheed. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? He had a goal in life, and that goal in life is our goal in life. If you don't remember, maybe my fourth or fifth khutbah before this was about how important it is to be calling people to Islam. That's our mission now. And no dirt on his doorstep was going to change that. No dirt on our doorstep to change that. One more story and then we'll finish. One of the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ was once walking home and she was walking by some of the notables of Quraysh. And they were mocking the Prophet ﷺ, her father. And they were calling him, the best translation is the insulted one. The insulted one, the one who has no honor, no dignity, he is an insult to us and to everyone else. One of the worst things you could be called. A complete insult. And she began to cry. And she went home, and the Prophet ﷺ saw her crying. He said, oh my daughter, why are you crying? She said, Father, you are the messenger of Allah. You are the best of Allah's creation. You are the Prophet sent by Allah to us, all of us. And they're sitting there by the house of Allah calling you this name. The insulted one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He smiled. He said, my daughter, they are calling me the insulted one when Allah has named me Muhammad, the praised one. So I don't know who they are talking about. They must be talking about someone else. Do you see the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He understood that the person they are talking about is not me. The person whom they are calling a magician, a madman, a sorcerer, a liar, the insulted one, is not me. Allah has named me Muhammad. Allah has said about me, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَالَ خُلْقٍ عَظِيمٍ. My status is known to all of creation. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? This movie they made is not insulting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are insulting some fictional character that they have devised in their own minds. So how can I respond to it? Why do you want me to respond to it? You're not talking about the Prophet that I follow. You're not talking about the Prophet that taught me Islam. You're not talking about the man I read about in the Quran or in the Seerah. So how am I supposed to respond to some fictional character? Just put it in Hollywood. Because that's where it belongs, with all the other lies. This is our response. A lie is a lie. It has nothing to do with me. This is not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Good luck. Have fun. Enjoy it while it lasts. Because it will come to an end very quickly. And you can laugh all you want today. As I've told you all before. Tell them laugh. Go ahead, laugh. Laugh. Laugh it up. Get a good chuckle. I'm going to laugh too. I'm going to laugh too. But the difference will be that after this life, there will only be one people that are laughing. After this life, there will be only one people that will be laughing. And it will be the people who follow that man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the messengers who came before him. It will be the people of Jannah that will be laughing after the day of judgment. And only them. So if you want to laugh today, you better get it all in. Because it's going to be all you have. This is our position. And it's very clear. I don't need to argument against it. I don't need to debate them about it. I don't need to become infuriated about it. For what? They're talking about someone else. It's a very simple response. Don't let them provoke what they want. I'm not going to give you what you want because you're not talking about anybody I know. You're not talking about anybody that I've ever heard of. It's a pretty awful person that you have created, but that's probably somebody more in tune with some of the other religious leaders that we see in the world today. How about that? So we need to be realistic about the matter, inshallah ta'ala. We need to respond in a way that is not just filled with anger. Because that's the way they portray you anyway, a bunch of angry people who look for nothing but a reason to have violence. We should portray the image of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are walking representatives of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are walking representatives of the greatest human being to ever walk the face of the earth. We need to live up to that standard. We need to live up to that standard. But realize that you're going to fall short a lot. And when you fall short, you turn to the one whom you have repented or you have sinned against. Or if you've harmed some human being, you go to that human being like a man. Because that's one thing that I am really perturbed by today. Islam is a religion that taught men how to be men. How to be real men. And it taught women how to be real women. If you have sinned against someone, Islam teaches you to be a man about it. And you go to that person. And you ask them for forgiveness. This is the way a man deals with things. I am sorry that I have made a mistake and I have said something about you or I have done something about to you. Please forgive me. Because if you can't forgive me, then I don't know what any of us are doing here. And a good Muslim should be a man about it as well. That if Allah can forgive me, how can I not forgive you? The Prophet ﷺ said, those who do not show mercy will never be shown mercy. And you will gain for mercifulness that which you will gain for nothing else. This is what Islam is all about. Fixing the mistakes. That's what your life is about. Fixing your mistakes. Not about not making them. Inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to realize that we will make mistakes and give us the tawfiq to turn and repent from those mistakes. May Allah Azza wa Jalla unite our hearts in love and brotherhood and sisterhood for the sake of His. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين اللهم إنا أسألنا في الجنة الفردوس العالي يا رب العالمين وأعوذ بك من النار وأعوذ بك من النار وأعوذ بك من النار سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقيم الصلاة